Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. We've been talking all about the Saints getting ready to face the Rams tomorrow, preseason game number two, right here on WWL Saints Radio, a 3 p.m. kickoff. Looking at this team in California, they got to go against two joint practices with the Dallas Cowboys and then against the LA Rams before this matchup hits us tomorrow. We talked a lot about the offense, I feel, so far. Just curious, with Jeff Nowak and Saints sideline reporter, also Saints color analyst Deuce McAllister out in California here as well on WWL Radio, looking at the defensive side of the ball, one of the injuries that I think that's most concerning to me for this team right now is Quincy Riley. I mean, not to downplay any of the other injuries that this team has faced so far, but him being sidelined for any amount of time is pretty concerning for me when you look at the rest of the secondary group right now. Not to knock any of these guys, but that duo of Kool-Aid McKinstry and Quincy Riley seem to really be gaining a lot of steam going into week one. There's a lot of excitement about these two young corners developing and working together. And now with Quincy Riley kind of down right now, a little bit of a hit to that unit. I'm just concerned now how that whole secondary is going to look.
Well, even though they were young and you talk about they had some success last year, I still question the corners. And the only reason I question them is because they were young and you needed both of those guys to kind of take the next step if you're going to go from being good to elite. And I think, you know, with Kool-Aid and even with Quincy, you know, you had a guy that was – Alonte Taylor was the number one guy.
Yeah.
Now, for both of those guys, they're moving up the ladder. And so losing Quincy definitely hurts. It hurts that defense because now you're depending on one of your veteran corners to step in and be able to make sure that they, hey, I can man this position. You know, whether you're talking about Emerson Martin or whether you're talking about Yedem. I mean, both of those guys can do it. And the other guy, you know, who we hadn't seen in a while is Wright.
Rajon Wright.
Rajon Wright. And so, you know, he's been dealing with the injury as well. So for me, I'm not to the point completely where I need to bring in another corner, but I'm not very far off either. And what I mean by that is we know that they had Arnold in for a visit, and he agreed to a contract with Seattle as far as the Seahawks are concerned. For me, if those two guys are healthy, you feel good about it. I don't know if you feel great because it will be a different situation for both of them. They played, you know, in the nickel together as far as on the outside, but that wasn't the case for the base. And it'll be totally different being the man and being the other guy or the number two guy, which will be the case for Riley. So I feel good about it. I don't feel great. And I think the more reps they get, you will feel a little bit better about it. And then you got to show up. And that's just being honest. You got to show up as far as on the field.
Yeah, and it's tough to know how much time Quincy's going to miss. He did look like he was in a decent bit of pain when he went off the field on Tuesday. I will say I feel better about it in terms of if Martin hadn't really picked up things over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I would be very, very concerned because he had a rough start to camp. There's no way around it. I think he was getting his legs under him a little bit. He's just been a lot more competitive. He stayed more attached in coverage over the last few practices. And I didn't watch the defense, but you said he was the one who got the first kind of reps with the first team yesterday.
Yes.
With the Rams. Yeah, and so that's a change because earlier in camp when they were rotating guys and Quincy Riley swapped to the second team, it was Ike Yadam who took over with the first team. So I think that does tell you that run of improved play hasn't gone unnoticed. But I think there's two positions that I look at on the Saints roster, and we're going to get down to cuts, and I think they should be aggressive looking at some depth pieces. One is offensive guard. I think you really need to be scouring the free agent market for a guy that can, A, be a depth piece and or a backup center option. And then outside corner, because I just – If Quincy does miss a significant amount of time and your options are Martin Emerson and Ike Yadam, I'd really like to have another body behind him because I just don't know if you have another viable outside corner option.
No, I agree with you, and I think, you know, that's how I felt. We both think I know that they will, you know, depending on how bad Rajon Wright is.
He's been out a lot of time.
Yeah, he's been out a while, but, I mean, he could possibly be an option for you. Whoever that guy is, you know he's going to have to play some special teams and, you know, just be a guy that can come in, fill in, and give you some snaps. But there is some concern. I mean, you feel good if they're healthy, but there is concern there that you don't have enough. And then definitely from the guard standpoint, I am looking, you know, and we saw the trade last year for the backup center. I don't think that you need to go that far at this point, but I would not be one bit surprised. I mean, I like Sherman. I like Sherman as a guard for you.
He can play all five spots.
Well, he can play all five.
That's a feather in his cap.
He can play all five, but I'm probably looking for a veteran, guy that has, you know, 20, 30 starts under his belt.
So I have a question for you. So, you know, season starts tomorrow. Would you feel comfortable going into the regular season with Torricelli Simpkins III as your only real backup center with, I guess, Cesar Ruiz being that emergency guy? Would you feel comfortable with that, or would you feel like, hey, I need to go figure something out?
No, I'm comfortable with that.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, it's short term. It's not long term. If I have to finish out a game, that's what I'm doing.
Cesar or Sully?
No, I'm going with Cesar.
Yeah.
If I have to finish out a game, I'm going with Cesar. Now, if I have to start multiple games, I'm going with Torricelli.
Okay.
But
so, like, I guess theoretically in that scenario, you could have Torricelli inactive for games and then only need him when you have to start a game with a different center.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Theoretically. But that's probably even hard for me there. Just because – I would hate to disrupt two positions where I could disrupt only one position.
If you would move Cesar for temporary reasons to center, are you going to – you're sliding Will Sherman into that right guard spot, or would you go with the rookie and Jeremiah Wright?
No, you're going with Jeremiah Wright.
You have to.
Yeah, you're going with Jeremiah Wright.
You've seen you've seen at least enough from him so far. I know, like – there's still a lot to prove for the rookie right now, but a guy that at least has looked like he's belong in training camp so far.
I don't know if you've seen enough, but I think that that's the direction that you're going eventually anyway. I mean, if that's the direction I'm going eventually, that's where I'm going to go. I mean, I've got to get him ready to play. He and Simpkins, Torricelli, as well as I'm just looking at from a number, those three guys, it's three of them. Will Sherman, Simpkins, Wright.
Kilty?
When they come in. No. Wright, Sherman, Simpkins, when they come in, you have an aggressive group. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that they've got to do is understand how to use my aggressive blocking style. I mean, because there's times where there was times against the Rams. I don't know if it was a hold because the officials were out there, but I don't want to just throw the guy to the ground just because I have him off balance. I don't want to because then all I'm doing, particularly in the open field, I'm opening up myself for a holding call. You're not even at the focal point of the play. But I understand wanting to finish a guy off. And I think all three of them play like that. And sometimes that gets them in trouble. That gets them in trouble where it's a stunt and you go and you're trying to chase a guy and the guy that you need to be blocking, he's coming back around or he's so tight to you where you don't even see him. And so, like, different things of that nature, I don't want to take your aggression away from you as far as a blocker, but I don't want you to get – silly penalties as well because you are so aggressive and I want to finish a guy to the ground.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, get more into another Saint joining us on WWL Radio. Roman Harper, Saint Super Bowl champ, also does some analyst work for the SEC Network. We'll chime in on his thoughts on the black and gold. You can chime in as well, too, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Step it away. Be right back. Keep it locked on WWL. Rolling on here on Sports Talk. Welcome back in, Steve Geller, along with Charlie Long, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak, and happy to welcome in Saints Super Bowl champ, Saints Team Hall of Famer, and SEC Network analyst Roman Harper now to the radio huddle. Always great to hear from you, Roman. How you been doing?
I'm doing well, man. Just getting home. I hosted the Feinbaum show today. It was great. A lot of people from New Orleans called in, from Alabama. It was came from all over. So I had a pretty good day, and now I got to go run and pick up some kids here in a little bit.
Nice. How's it been? You know, I know media land has been kind to you. What do you think about being now a host on a show?
Oh, man, I enjoy it. I mean, Feinbaum's a very unique situation where, you know, not everybody has call-in, so it's not like I'm just up there talking by myself. It was very entertaining, and they never seemed to amaze me.
Harp.
What's up, dudes?
How you doing, man?
I'm living, dog. How you doing, bro?
You doing more than living, man. Are you in? You said you just hosted the show. Are you in Charlotte? Did you go to the Charlotte studio and host it?
Yes, I did. I was here in Charlotte hosting the show. And now I'm just getting back home. I got to go pick up my kids from a football game. It's the first season. Well, first game of the football season at their school. So everybody all excited, and they're wearing all their school spirits. You know the stuff. You know the drill. You know the drill.
Yeah, but wait, I do know the drill. Are they cheering? Are they in they're involved?
No, knock on wood, none of my kids are cheerleading. I'm missing that part, so I'm totally fine with that. My baby boy, my boys are too young to play football, so they're not on the big leagues yet.
Yeah, I knew they weren't old enough for that, but I'm just saying, those babies better not be out there cheering, and you at the house, on the radio, you working, but you ain't really working. You supposed to be at that game with them kids. That's where I'm going. Because
No cheerleaders. We don't have any cheerleaders. We just show
I don't
up.
Believe that.
My daughters are not about it, and my boys, they probably don't want to cheer. They probably want to play.
I know your boys want to play, but I don't believe that about the girls. But anyway, I don't want to talk about that no more. I don't want to talk about that no more. Harp. So, are you ready to petition to go back and play at Alabama, to go get you a little NIL? We're going to file us a TRO, and I might even, my old self,
favorable judge.
I might put myself in the transfer portal as well and shop myself a little bit to see what it looked like. I mean, because we're not too old.
Ole Miss got Kewon Lacy. They don't need you. So you're right. I was talking to my son.
Hey, wait. You stop right there. You stop right there. I'm still good for 2 yards. I might not be good for 35, but I'm still good for 2 yards. Now you can talk about you and your son and the YouTube video that he probably watching, and he said, "Ooh, Daddy, I can't even see you out there because the film's so bad.
It's grainy.
It's grain." It's grain.
All those are true. He literally told me 2 days ago, "Dad, you need to go back. You need to go back." He wants me to go all the way back to the NFL. He had my wife actually call my football agent, Bill Johnson, and like, "Hey, see if there's any teams. Dad can go back now." I'm like, "Dude, I'm not going anywhere." But it is so interesting how now, you know, because the federal law passed today that put a stay on for the Colorado ruling. I just went through a whole big thing with this on the Feinbaum show about the Colorado ruling. So it's 1,000 or so players out there that are now ineligible from the Colorado ruling, which allowed them to be eligible this season. Now the state ruling, like states like Louisiana, where now Louisiana, the Pyburn kid, Daquan Wright, the tight end that was at Ole Miss last year, it's a group out there that can go through NFL camps, not make the team, and then go back to college. And so it's kind of the wild, wild west. And so as long as you have the money to start a case and get bundled in with other guys at the state level, you got a chance right now to go back and play college football, including me and you, Deuce. So I know one of us got the money, and I think it's you, that could at least put up the lawyer and make some court calls to make it up, because that's what this is all about now. If I can get things tied up in court, I can go play. At least for a whole year. That's how Diego Pavia got back. That's how your quarterback Trinidad Chandler's got to come back. It's not like they're winning the case. They're just trying to tie it up in case long enough to go play.
Well, here's the other thing as well. We'll get a lawyer to take it on pro bono. But see, I can work that angle. But we gonna need your knees and your body if we talking about going out and playing, because mine just is not in the shape to go out and get hit. Or I don't think yours is in your in shape to go out and hit a lot of people. But I guess here's how I understand it. The federal ruling stopped a lot of the four-year guys that were attempting to go after the fifth year. Now, as you stated, you can still go and file a case. And I know it's weird because a lot of the seasons, I think week zero starts, what, next week? Week zero starts like a week or two.
North Carolina and TCU play in Ireland on next Saturday. Yes.
Yeah. And so you have week zero that is literally starting in a week. And you have some of the state cases, you're correct, some of the state cases, and it's just not the one in Louisiana, some of those state cases where they can get the injunction and those young men and women, they can go and play. We know about the football and the basketball, but there are now some baseball players, some spring sports that were possibly affected by this ruling, particularly on the federal side. And I know a lot of the fuss as well. Here's where it hurts. You've got individuals that will be able to walk on this late in the game. The young man or young woman, you know, particularly football, we'll focus. The young man that's going to get affected is the walk-on kid. It's not the scholarship player. They will meet the numbers. You know, you'll get the 105, 103, whatever that number is as far as total players, but it'll be the player that has been the walk-on, that has been invited, that's going to get bumped off. And then they will be creative from a schooling standpoint where, hey, you just have to be enrolled X amount of hours, whether that's 9, whether that's 12. I know there's a report out there about Sellers who – And what some people didn't understand about the Sellers piece, he's working at a golf course. How about this, Rome? He's working at a golf course. He is on track. No, this is true now. He is on track to graduate. He is on track to graduate in December, but his job is to work at a golf course, and that counts towards his 9 hours of school because it is basically like his intern for his degree. And so some people got mad about that he is not physically taking any more classes. He is done with that. His job is to go to the golf course 3 times a week, whatever it may be, and work at the golf course. Give me your thoughts.
My first thought is I wish I was playing college football right now. That's my first thought. My second thought is, dude, any rule that you think is like a rule can all be upside down in 24 hours. You know, all these – like, a lot has happened in the last 72 hours in college sports that you would think, like, pigs are falling from the sky, Deuce. And so it's been crazy to kind of see, kind of step back. The fact that we have opinions about something that literally could change overnight has been so interesting and intriguing for all of us. And that everything about the college space that we love is kind of getting flipped upside down on its head right now. And so you're not going to be able to put the milk back in the carton anymore. Everything's out in the open. It's going to be super interesting to me to see what they do with these teams. Like you said, like the first player that actually does come back from a professional stage to now go play college, because you really can't blame the college coaches saying they're cheating, because ultimately the NCAA can't defend their own rules. And so they are in the business of winning. And so anything that's going to help me win games, I'm going to try and do that. And you can't tell me that bringing back a veteran guy, we saw from Indiana, who had a lot of guys that were 22, 23, sometimes 24 years old last year, win a championship because they were older team. And right now, I saw it in Omaha this past year, was that older teams are what's winning right now in baseball, in sports overall. Because, you know, I talked to a guy today. He said, imagine this, you know, Will Anderson, the defensive end for the Houston Texans now, played at Alabama, all right? He was in college for 3 years. He left when he was 20 or 21 years old. And now, all of a sudden, you let him go develop an NFL body for a year or so and then come back to college. It's not even a fair fight. And it wasn't that fair when he left. But this is what we're talking about. Guys are going off becoming professionals in some sort of form of whether it's coaching, body type, like learning how to be a pro, and then all of a sudden going back to college, they should wreck the game. Not only that, but then improve their draft status. I'm just totally confused because what if that team that you come back to doesn't have the roster spot? Is that person now allowed to go become a free agent and get in the transfer portal as well? There's just so many different layers to this that we just do not know. And honestly, none of us have the idea or none of us have the answers to any of these questions because it's different questions arising every single day.
Well, my question to you, though, is the team that you were technically with last, they're the ones that has to put you in the transfer portal. You can't just declare yourself a transfer portal kid. Somebody has That's to it. Put you in the transfer portal. And so it's technically supposed to be the last team that you were just with. But, you know, hey, I regress. I don't know. I do have one more question for you, Hop. And then we got to let these other
Go
folks
ahead,
talk. It just can't be me and you. But I do.
I get it.
The SEC, the SEC has a rule. The SEC has a rule
yes.
where if you do
Good
not
job on your research, Deuce.
Hop. Wrong. Leave me alone. Let me go ahead with my question. The SEC has a rule that you must transfer unless, you know, there's a firing. We do know that. You got 30 days. If there's a firing of your head coach, yada, yada, you can transfer. But there's a window that you must transfer. And if you do not, you can't transfer in conference. I know a lot of people are saying, well, the state ruling says this. The NCAA ruling says this. Here's the problem. This is a conference rule. This is nothing to do with state and or NCAA. This is run by what's your boss name? What's your commissioner name? What's the name?
Greg Sankey.
Thank you. This is run by Greg Sankey. And the 16, whatever it is, presidents, you know, I don't even think all of them have the stroke that they think they have, but that's a different conversation. You know what I'm saying? That's a different conversation. Do you think he lets kind of, all right, you're in the transfer portal now. You just won that case, but I am not going to allow you to transfer in conference. Do you think he backs away from that?
No way they back away from that. That's literally the only thing they got left standing to fight off anything. And so I think they're trying to stay strong where they are strong at, which is a rule within the SEC. And that transfer portal, like you said, the spring portal is already closed. And so if you come back and the team does not allow you to come back to that team because they got roster spot or they're not going to let go of the 105th guy on their roster who's a walk-on possibly, that what do you do after that? Like I said, Deuce, these are problems that nobody even thought about a week ago. So all this has to be – but Greg Sankey did send out a memo just talking about this past week that, hey, just reminding everybody that you can't transfer within the SEC, within the conference, after the portal's closed. Just in case these win – he probably heard of the windfalls that were coming. And so he put that out there for a reason. I think messaging is important. I also think the NCAA failed everybody by not including this 2022 class. They left that whole class out. They specifically picked 2023 and blah, blah, blah. And so with the five for five. And so the fact that you left that team, that class out, did they do that on purpose to create this chaos and mayhem to now all of a sudden want the electorals in the Senate and Congress to all of a sudden be and say, hey, look, I told you we need this problem solved and you guys will help us out. So are they doing that on purpose because they knew all this was going to happen? I can't answer that. But at the end of the day, it is mayhem. It's chaos. And I don't think it's anywhere close to being done because if you do come back and you're not able to transfer and you say that the team won't let you, then that's just another case. And so we'll have to get that pro bono call in again because I don't think once I come back, Alabama's going to let me play. So I'm going to have to hit the portal too, Deuce.
We got some issues there. All right, like we said, we got to let these young, other fine gentlemen, you know, have in on the conversation, Rome, and then I'll let you go get the kids.
You're going to yield your time?
I'm yielding my time.
All right. Well, Rome, good to chat with you. I do got to ask you a couple questions about the Saints, right?
Say it again.
I said, I do got to ask you a couple questions about the Saints, right? You know, like we got to get that part of the program in. And so, you know, one guy I was talking to yesterday was Isaiah Stallbird. And, you know, it got me thinking, like, the linebacker position in today's NFL is so much different than, you know, when you played. And, you know, he's 6'1", 205, but he's playing linebacker. He came up as a safety, but in the NFL, he's playing linebacker. And one of the things he told me yesterday was, like, his issue is not making weight. His issue was keeping his weight up. He's constantly got to go and get extra shakes after practice. And, you know, what I've been struck by with Brandon Staley's defense for this team is his ability to find roles for guys up and down the roster. And Isaiah is an interesting case because, you know, he was out on like third downs last year and he had this really kind of unique third and long role where he was out there like leapfrogging Kirk Cousins on pass rushing attempts. I'm just curious, like what have you seen from Brandon Staley's defense when you've watched this team that you like, and what is his ability to kind of create roles for guys up and down the roster, and how does that help a team as it navigates a season?
Well, living in Charlotte, I hadn't got to actually watch New Orleans a ton preseason so far, besides highlights and things of that nature. So you only get to see the highs, not the lows. But overall, I've almost got hit by a bug outside my house. Overall, I've seen Coach Staley's defense throughout the years, being with the Chargers, being other places. And so 3-4 gives you a little bit of flexibility as far as positional changes and things of that nature on the first couple downs. But obviously, when it comes to third down, you're going to be a nickel set. So you're going to have more four down. And you want to have that quote-unquote dime linebacker that's able to cover linebackers. I mean, cover tight ends and running backs out of the backfield on third down. But then also able to play more in space and then not really lose a lot in the run game when teams are trying to run the ball on you when you try and get small. And so I've done that. I did it 1 year with Rob Ryan pretty well to success in 2013. Me and Curtis Lofton were actually right there. So, and having a guy that could communicate and understands coverage and some other different things allows you more flexibility because you gain speed, you lose nothing in the coverage aspects of it, and then you're not really losing anything on the rundowns because you don't think they're going to run. As long as I can fit a run and just hammer it back to the other guy, you can make some things happen defensively. I also would say that the last 4 years of football in the NFL specifically, I think it's going more to positionless football. A lot like what they do in basketball, where now everybody's able to shoot and knock down three-pointers. And in defenses nowadays, everybody's got a better run and cover. It's not the 245-pound linebacker that you used to have that, you know, we only needed them to stop the run and things of that nature. Now everybody has to be able to play in space because offenses are designing plays to attack matchups in space. And so if you can't defend those matchups or space, you really can't play. So if you have a jersey or if you're going to make a roster – I could totally see every week you have a defense or a couple calls up that week that's going to allow you to play everybody. There's no reason to give guys jerseys on game day when there's only – how many guys are up? It's 53-man roster, only like 48 are up in the game. If I'm giving a jersey to a guy, I want him to be able to play for me. And I think that's got to be the mindset that also keeps guys encouraged on the bench and ready to go during the game as well, that, hey, my time or my number may be called – so I'm locked in a little bit more. I'm not just focused on special teams and then checking out on the defensive meeting. It keeps them all encouraged that they all have a chance to play.
Speaking of time, Roman, definitely appreciate you giving us some on this Friday. Good luck getting the kids, and look forward to talking to you soon again.
Thanks, man. Anytime Deuce calls, you know I'll answer. So, Steve, you're cool too, bro, but no, Deuce is my guy. It's all good. Y'all have a good one, man.
Man, I get it, Roman. Thank you. Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak out in California. We just heard from Roman Harper, Saints Super Bowl champ there on WWL. Taking a break, coming back with more of our Saints discussion right after this on WWL. Big old shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine Street. It's a casual American New York style pizzeria. Dine in or get it delivered. It's got some of the best gourmet pizza in town, folks. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads for you. Just visit magazinepizza.com. We're going to take a break, coming back, wrap up sports talk right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk as we close things out, Saints preseason action tomorrow kicking off 3 p.m. on WWL Saints Radio against the L.A. Rams. Going to talk about now in our final comments some things we're looking forward to seeing in this game. Obviously, the answer is no injuries for the black and gold. But guys, for me, one of the things that I want to see is this running back room. We're going to see Kendra Miller, Devin Neal back in action from injury, so it'll be good to see them in the mix. Obviously, Audric Estime had a nice showing against the Jaguars. He's kind of nicked up right now. Don't think he's going to end up playing. And then Ty Chandler as well, seeing how much he can contribute to this running back group as well, not just on special teams, because obviously with Kamara down right now for a bit and then with the question mark still with Estime, I still don't know exactly how this depth chart is shaking out for the Saints.
Well, for me, in a depth chart standpoint, I think that will all shake out. You know, I think that the depth chart will shake out, and it's going to be, you know, it is what it is from that standpoint. I guess where I'm at is, are you to the point and can you afford to carry three backs or four backs? That's really where I'm at. You know, will it be three backs? Will it be four backs? And you're in a similar situation at receiver.
Yeah.
Will you carry the seven or eight receivers, you know, with maybe one or two of them being PUP and one going on injured reserve that opens up the door? But if that's the case, because here's what just happened this week. Ridgeway gets banged up. Now Ridgeway is hurt. Now your defensive line, we don't know how long Miller is out. You've already lost Brian Brzee. You just got Goshaw back. You know, and so what do I really do there? You know, because now I don't want to call Boyd a lock, but now Boyd becomes almost a guaranteed lock for you. And now I'm only going to maybe keep three guys, four guys for defensive interior as far as D-tackle are concerned. So there are some question marks for me, and a lot of it will depend on how some of those guys go out and perform in those games. But from a depth standpoint or player standpoint, it becomes, all right, am I keeping an extra receiver? Am I keeping an extra running back where originally I was probably only keep three? Now it's going to be four. And then from a defensive tackle position, because Ridgeway, he had a sleeve on that leg that he ended up hurting already. And so, you know, I assume that he's probably going to be out for sure in this upcoming game. And, you know, probably going to be tough for him to play next week. We'll kind of wait and see. But that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, and it's also a lot easier to sit here right now and say, hey, they're going to keep four running backs, they're going to keep six wide receivers. But, like, think about last year. Like, we all had our roster projections, and then they went out and traded for Austin Richards, traded for Luke Fortner, there was one other that I'm they wavered for Xavier Trust, but then even Devon Vaileh was a late addition. So that's four players on the 53 that we weren't even accounting for the last week. So I think that's really what I'm looking at in these games is do the offensive linemen, the depth offensive linemen play well enough that you feel like, we don't need to go get a guy? Interior defensive line, do you need to go trade for a guy, or can you let it ride? Like, that's, to me, what you learn in these games. And I still think if you're the Saints, you got to be aggressive to bring in some pieces with some of these depth positions.
Well, and here's the other part of it. I know we're about to get out of here. Here's the other part. We can only talk about what's in the building.
Well, right.
We can only talk about what's in the building. What they're thinking outside of the building and what those other 31 teams are doing, hey, we will just have to wait and see.
Gentlemen, thank you for the time out there, Wes. Anybody going to the Pittsburgh-LA Dodgers game tonight or nah?
No.
Negative, sir.
That's a hike. Nope, we're sticking around to home base tonight.
Got you. Appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Look forward to hearing from both of you tomorrow. I'm Steve Geller for Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long. Have a great evening, folks, and look forward to hearing from you back tomorrow's show. First Take with me and Charlie Long starting up 11 a.m. before the Saints kick off 3 p.m. on WWL Saints Radio against the Rams. Who dat? Have a great night.